Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of The Laws of Material Wealth. This program includes the book, a workbook, four DVDs, and 54 weeks of support material and online coaching. And you can visit youtube.com and then type in Renford Broadcast Network. That's Renford Broadcast Network. And in the first section, you will have the DVD, so you could actually listen to a little bit of that, get a taste for it, get an idea of what's going on with the Laws of Material Wealth program. This is dealing with 13 universal principles of success that all the great masters, both spiritual and business-wise, talked about, all the way down to our American famous Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. If you have friends who would like to see the show tonight or listen to the show, they can go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And that brings you right into the show. You're listening there live. This is a live show. If you'd like to ask a question of my guest, Sherman Brown, you can press the 1 button on your touch-tone dial. If you've come in through the Internet, then you'll need to dial 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. And then press the 1 button on your touch-tone dial, and that will flag me to bring you in for your questions, and you can do that at any time. The first thing that we're going to do tonight is the reading of the Renford Revelation. I do a blog each evening. And this show is actually a repeat in the sense that we're having to do it all again. Last week we had severe technical difficulties with Blog Talk, and both my guest and myself eventually got knocked off the line. So we're just simply doing the show all over again. And I'll be reading my Renford Revelation called The Individual Responsibility. Now, there's a new blog out there. You can go to iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org. If you would like to listen or to read the blogs, then you just, at the end of that, iam-cor.org/blog, and then you can do that. Or you can go into the website, and there's free ebooks, and there's the 3 degree levels of study. You can look at the texts that are used and the courses that are taught in the bookstore and all of that. But if you want to read the blog, when you get to iamcor.org/blog, that'll take you straight to the blogs, and you'll see this one and the one that is was posted today. But I'm going back and do this, and then I'll get back and introduce my guest, who is, I think this blog goes so well with him because he's had to overcome quite a significant amount of things in his early life in order to become the successful entrepreneur that he is. And this show, we tried to interview many, many different types of entrepreneurs, different areas of activity, with different stories. But first, let's do individual responsibility. Where did our churches and the general population get the idea that individual responsibility is easy? Jesus did not teach a soft, easy way. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He was saying this way is easy because if we are seeking to escape the invariant universal principles or laws, there's no way at all. At the same time, he didn't say that our choices will always be easy. He said, "Take my yoke." Who wears a yoke? Beast of labor. This indicates that his yoke requires work. He said, learn of me. What did he teach about learning of him and finding the kingdom? He taught work on self. He said, straight and narrow is the way, and few there will be who will find it. Work, search, study, yoke, and do, these are all words of action. It is simply not possible to stop the slide of society without starting with each individual self. It is not possible to rectify the wrongs we see without establishing in the minds of each individual the fact of his or her personal responsibility. How do we avoid a mindset that leads to reactionary thinking and confused ethics? When relative thinking is removed from the picture long enough to see clearly the universal truths, right thought can be formulated. Relative thinking is fear-based and reactionary. With right thinking, we can begin to work on a problem effectively. We create with thought. We have proper perspective. We can know that what we have created in thought exists, believe it will manifest, and that it will do so through our actions. If we were all working on ourselves, we would of necessity love, give, teach, and benefit society as a whole. How do we recognize faulty thinking that feeds unstable ethics? When a proposition for salvation is presented that sounds easy, it has popular appeal. We say it is a beautiful system that God has created for us. The man says, I'm in sin now, and even God knows how weak I am. He isn't blaming me. I'm not responsible for my condition. Adam did it. And all the good I do in the world isn't going to get me the kingdom. Thinking is tough. God does it for me. And Jesus did all the dirty work by sacrificing himself for this unworthy world. If I revere him, all I have to do is live the best I can, sin as little as possible, and I'm home free. That's one way of looking at it. We cannot escape personal responsibility for what we've done. We can ask forgiveness of those we've harmed. We can make amends and work to balance the books. But no matter what we do, we still are personally responsible for the harm we've done. A murderer, even if he confesses in court and is found legally not accountable for his actions, is still responsible for them. There's no one else. This fact of responsibility cannot be taken away by anyone and is not a responsibility for which Jesus can or would take. It is the murderer's responsibility, and to begin work on himself and ever balance the scales of justice for his soul, he must start with this recognition. Only through the law of balance and equalization is there a system of complete and perfect justice. Only through this law can the soul make amends for the crime, and only through this system can the soul evolve and unfold. This principle, which we readily accept in scientific terms as cause and effect, when it comes to physical matter, is no less true in the subtle form concerning the soul, spirit, or life force. All the universal principles or laws find expression in natural laws. We can understand the perfect justice of these principles, realize our purpose for existence, and exercise the power innate in us all. Things become clear then. We can see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and understand with our hearts. Understanding with the heart comes through understanding with our minds, with our reasoning. Come, let us reason together is the biblical admonition. Understanding, it is all we can take with us, and it is all important to gain as much as possible in the cycle of life to maximize our potential. Each of us has put in place the basis for soul growth. Each experiences what he must. It is our purpose to reason, to learn, and create the circumstances most needed. There are no accidents. All is subject to the law of evolution and unfoldment. This does not mean that God is somewhere out there separate from us, predetermining everything for us. All that we attract to our learning experience is brought to us by choices we make in the situations in which we place ourselves. All the diversities of experience, trials, and achievements of life can be understood through the knowledge of the essence of man and his evolution, his unfoldment through the stages of his continuing existence. The first step in the process is the acceptance of responsibility for our situations and the choices we make. If one recognizes that philosophy, like science, has been a process of trial and error, then one would know that to have truth, one must discard deficient philosophical thought as one discards a previously accepted scientific truth when it is proven wrong. Philosophy is accumulated knowledge, and if that accumulated knowledge is correct, the philosophy is as perfect in its truth as a scientific law is perfect in its objective truth. Ethics cannot stand alone without a philosophical base because of our rules of behavior are tied to our philosophy of life, whether religious in nature or based upon reason. If our reason is faulty or our religion is based upon the warped understanding of God that has come to monopolize religious thought and ethics, we cannot hope to solve the crisis of human ethics. Each thought creates constructively or destructively. One way or another, creation is going on. Fear-based thinking has created the destructive results we see today, and love-based thinking, in harmony with the universal laws, will create the kind of world we are capable of imagining. And that is my Renford Revelations for this evening. My guest, Sherman Brown, is a successful businessman, but he started out the hard way. He says the light came on when he got shot in the mouth, and he's going to be telling you about that. He has a book called The Bullet in Me, and he has been working from a very early age and has gone from the construction business, well, a little bit of drugs here and there, the construction business, the mortgage business, the roofing business, and he is continuing to look for ways that he can assist other people who are attempting to make the changes that they need to make in the process of accepting responsibility for themselves and creating what they want to create for themselves in this life. He's involved in charitable works. He's got a new program called 50-50 where he provides 50 turkeys this year for the holiday season and Thanksgiving and 50 bikes for the Christmas. And so he's a mover and a shaker. Welcome to the show, Sherman. Are you online, Sherman? Sorry about that. Hello. I didn't have you turned on there, Sherman. Thanks for being with me.
Oh, man, thanks for having me on the line. Thanks a lot.
I'm just talking a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing and about your book. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
Oh, about my book?
Yeah.
Okay, right now I'm writing a book. And the book is called The Bullet in Me. The book will be finished in this year. And the book is basically talking about my life, about me growing up in poverty, going through hard obstacles, about getting shot, high school dropout, mother and father was on drugs, grandmother had 15 kids, and we all lived in an 800-square-foot house, about me getting into real estate, you know, using my entrepreneurial mind to constantly move and make moves that can impact my life positively. So that's what the book is about.
What led you to write a book? I mean, is that something that you do you do a lot of journaling or – What was going on there?
Me writing a book, I kind of define the word hope. My own definition of the word hope is nobody would get hope unless they can see somebody or hear somebody or know that somebody has been through something and made out of it. That's the definition of hope. And I've been through. You know, I've been through, and and I've been through it. So by me have done that in my life, I know that I can really share. I would like to share it and show it to the world so they can probably get something from it to make their lives and their steps even better.
Well, you were out working at a pretty early age. What 9, 10 years old? What were you doing?
Oh, at 9, I was cutting grass. but me growing up, one of my guys, a friend of mine, a long time ago, told me, he said, Sherman, you're a thresher. And I was so young, I didn't really know what he was talking about. But now I look at it, he was saying, Sherman, you keep moving. And I guess, you know, I always had a knack for moving. I just had to move. I don't like contentment. And if I see a way that I can better myself, I'm going to do that. So that's something that's already instilled in me to move. And this is how my life is. But, like, when I remember when I was growing up, me and my uncle named Bernard, we used to ride and go down the street and go get biscuits for my mom and, you know, for grandma and bring them back to the house, and we used to eat some of the biscuits on the way home. But just growing up and not having it, it was tough because I wanted it. You know, I want a peaceful life. And as I got older, you know, I went to school and got into high school and got into high school, and I was, it's like something hit my mind, whereas I didn't want to really work any, I mean, not work. I was in school, but I was wearing the same clothes over and over again. You know, I just was at a state where I couldn't grab a hold. You know, I go home, home is dysfunctional. And I go to school, my self-esteem is down. You know, it was just a lot. It was just a lot going through. But that's when I had I dropped out of school and I told the principal that I had the pink eye. And having the pink eye, they just said, hey, you can leave and don't come back because it's contagious. And, you know, to this day, man, I'm like, wow, that was real smooth. But when I left school, I knew that I wasn't coming back to school because it seemed like school was too slow. And I was hungry. You know, I was hungry. I wanted peace. I wanted better. And it seemed like it was just going too slow for me. So when I dropped out, a friend of mine, we got together and we got to be good friends. And, you know, we hung in the streets a little bit. And one time we was over a female friend of his house. And we go to the house and start playing with a gun. And I had the gun, then he had the gun. And it was a gun that was broken down, so when he put the gun together, the trigger was, like, real loose. And I just really found that out a few months ago when we actually had a real talk about it, because we just didn't talk about that subject. We are friends, but it's just something we don't talk about, because if that, his life could have been gone and my life could have been gone too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our life, both our lives could have been gone. I could have been dead. He could have been in jail for life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something that we did and we hated. But when I got shot in the mouth, the bullet went through my tongue and it lodged in my neck. And, you know, I'm just like, ah. You know, I didn't fall out. And he carried me to the nearest fire department. And the fire department took me to the hospital. I remember just riding down the street in the car. He was going like 100 miles an hour down Allison Road. And I was, you know, spitting out blood. He was like, man, I didn't mean to do it. And I was like, I was just like, man, look what you done to me. And my tongue was sticking out. Blood was everywhere. And I'm like, man. And I got to the fire department. And the fire department told me, I was talking like, help me. I'm talking like, I don't know how to talk. My tongue swole, a piece of my tongue even hit the ground. And went to the hospital, and I was in the hospital, and I remember cutting the clothes off of me, and I'm in the bed, and I'm like, God, I just want to have a good life. You know, I just want to have a good life. He said, if I can save from the gunshot, I can save from anything. So I took that, and I ran with it. You know, I just ran with it, man. And now, by me just running with it, because even to this day, I don't have a high school education. It's just... How, you know, God is powerful. And, you know, I'm not knocking education because I'm going to get it. And I believe I can get it right now, but it was just like my thorn in the side. And it's like, you know, God was there with me. And I remember times even going, after I got shot, I get a job here and a job there. And me having a job, you know, I was thanking God. And it's like, and I wanted more. I remember I had one job, I was making $18 an hour. $18 an hour. And, you know, I worked real hard in the job. I saved my money up, and I got a little restaurant. My brother and I had a restaurant out of an apartment. started delivering food. And then from that, we went into a restaurant building. And then I lost everything one time before. And I got into real estate. When I got into real estate, Mr. Rufford, I only had two suits. I had two suits and no high school education, but I had a drive.
Well, you got real innovative. You got real innovative with that food business by selling food to people on the construction site. So that was that showed some initiative and ingenuity just doing that.
Yes, yes, and just knowing that the first, because the job is 8 hours, so I'm looking at 8 hours. And I had a job, and the first 2 hours, you get a 15-minute break. The next 2 hours, you get a 30-minute lunch break. The next 2 hours, you take a break, 15-minute break, and then you go home. So I'm looking at it like, wow. Because the most people want to do is, work. This is what I've been around now. Work, get your break, you smoke a cigarette, you joke with your buddies and your friends, and you come back and go to work. That's not enough time to drive nowhere to get no food. So I said, if I can be there on time, with the food, deliver the food, I can make some money. And I started doing that. And just by doing that with an idea, I had an idea, $100 in my brother's apartment. That's all I had. And me and my brother, we cooked that food and we delivered it. We cooked it and we delivered it. And that led me to something else. And so it led me to something else. And it led me to something else. Because we don't know what our thing is, but we just got to keep moving.
Keep moving. What took you, it would seem to be quite a jump from construction work into the mortgage business. How did all that come about?
Well, when I did real estate mortgages, I bought houses and flipped houses, and I always had a crew to help me on my home as far as me doing remodeling, things of that nature. So when the market crashed, I remember I had a restaurant. Like in 2007, 2008, with that restaurant, man, I devoted all of my time, because when the market crashed in real estate, you mean the banks wouldn't loan any money? You couldn't do anything. I'm like, man, what am I going to do? It was like I went back to, to negative zero. And I lost that restaurant, man, and I had to bought the restaurant. I lost it, so I lost the restaurant, and I lost the mortgage lending because it was no longer being done. And I lost with the restaurant. I lost all my real estate, mostly, and I lost a lot of money. But I just kept moving. Hey, did I answer your question? I know I kind of did. I answer your question you asked me.
Yes, doing fine.
Okay, yeah, I just kept moving, man. So, so with the roofing, so when it crashed, okay, here we go. When it crashed, what happened was I got my guys and we developed a roofing company. You follow me? So that led me from, I did the mortgages, then I did the restaurant, and I came back and did other businesses. Then I got my crew that was helping me on remodeling the houses. They helped me with the roofing company.
So going back to the mortgage business, did you have a mentor or anybody who got with you and said, "Hey, you can make it in the mortgage business"? Did you have anybody to look to at all?
I had everybody that I was around in the mortgage industry gave me advice and gave me good sound advice. I didn't have like a one-on-one person. I didn't have that. I had to get pieces from here, pieces from there. But there's a lot of great people in the mortgage industry that, I'm forever indebted to because of what they've shown me. But no, not somebody one-on-one. I just, when I first started, I closed my first loan, it took me about 3 months to close that first deal, and I only made $500. And I was just so happy about that because it wasn't about the money that I made. It was about that I could take a person, take a service, and take, take that right there and put them in a home. You know, when I realized I can create something, I was like sold. So, Yeah, there wasn't anybody in particular, but there was a lot of people, like a handful.
You said that when you were shot, the light sort of went on. That and you had a personal experience there, but basically the voice telling you that if they could save you, you could do anything. So I take it that that has kind of stuck with you, and that you believe that whatever you strike out to do, you can do.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, I believe that, like, with, man, I believe that 100%. I don't believe it with lack of confidence. I believe if I set my mind towards something, that's going to manifest.
Well, doing the roofing business is a hot, tough business. I guess that the big compensation is the money.
Well, that's in, I mean, you know, I guess in everything that we do, it's the money that we're looking at far as working.
Hmm.
And I think everybody, but, you know.
But moving from behind a desk, doing mortgage business to getting on top of a roof in the summertime is quite a jump.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a tan. You know, I'm trying to see if I can get about... I'm trying to go leave about five shades darker.
Now, for those of you who don't, for your listeners who don't know Sherman, he really looks like the famous heavyweight champion Jack Johnson, and he's black. There's no mistaking it. That's what he's joking about.
Yeah, exactly what I'm joking about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I think in from restaurant to roofing to real estate investing to a construction company to writing my book to doing whatever, it wasn't so much that I mastered, and listen to me close, it wasn't so much that I mastered roofing. You follow me? It's not so much that I'm mastering or writing a book. It's just that I have the mindset to get in and to make it happen.
A lot of people are afraid to take off on something like writing a book because it's so alien to them. And unless they are in the habit of journaling or doing something like that, a lot of people won't even think about this process. But, you know, since you really, that's what you have publishers and editors and all the rest of it for. You needn't worry about those things. The main thing is to get your story down. And I think that you've probably got your manuscript pretty much together, do you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so basically it'll be a matter of, that'll be the professional job to help you in the final stages of that. But the primary purpose of the writing of the book, how do you describe that? Are you trying to accomplish by telling your story?
Oh man, I live by this one. I live by one of these notions, and it's a saying that I love. It says that I may not change the world, but as long as I can spark the minds of the ones who can. So, writing that book, it's about me helping, giving hope, so somebody could grab a hold to what their dreams are and make it happen. It picks back off of me when I got into real estate, because you asked me earlier, was there mentors around me, anybody in particular? And sad to say, but I got to be honest with this conversation, with me only having two suits in the mortgage industry, with me not having a high school education, it was very challenging to me. And let me go back a little bit, because I even tried to go to college. You know, when I it's going to sound kind of funny, y'all, but it's true. And it's taken me about at least about six years to write this book. So it's not something that I thought about yesterday. Did it and said I want to do it. I took my time with this book because I want the book to give all that needs to be in the book, so it can really help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into real estate, I said, if I ever make it, I won't move the bridge. And when I was in real estate, you know, people was making money and it was doing great. And they was college graduates. They was, you know, well off. And I am with two suits that I put in layaway with Sammy's, and it took me probably about 6 months to get out of layaway. You know, I turned two suits that I had. I had a white suit, I had a white checkerboard suit, and I had a black suit. But I turned those four suits into about five or six outfits. You know, I switched the jacket to the pants, and the pants and the shirt, and the tie, yeah, and the shoe. Man, I mean, I made them two suits, man, I'm talking about. I multiplied that. Mm-hmm. But because if I closed my first loan, it took me 3 months. So I didn't have any more money to buy any more clothes. I got paid commission only, meaning that when I had a loan in my hand, if I don't close the deal, I won't make any money. And it took me 3 months. And, man, you're talking about a person who have seen a six-pack without working out. I had that because I was starving. I was starving. That bridge is important to me, man. So writing the book is really being the bridge to help people get over. And it's like a twofold. I thought about it the other day. The book, I mean, the bridge is people walk on and get over it. But it hurts also, you know, because sometimes people can just stomp on you. You know, we can go through things in lives and do all we can to help somebody, right? And they just stomp on you. And sometimes we don't know why, or they don't know why. They don't know if they are. You follow me? But, you know, it's like a two-way. But, you know, the writing the book is there to give hope and help anybody who needs it.
Yeah, you're not writing the book to make money. In fact, there are very few writers that make money in writing a book. There are thousands and thousands of books written that people don't make money on. But what you have made money on is your roofing business is a well-established business now, and you can afford to go ahead and finish and do some of those things that you were hungry to do earlier.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a I don't know if you're doing any pre-sales of your book or not, but maybe that can be set up so that those of you who want a copy of it can nail that down at a better price. But if you would like to talk to Sherman, remember, even tonight, right now, you can dial 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. Press the 1 button on your touch-tone dial, and that'll flag me to bring you in, and you can talk to Sherman tonight. If you would like to contact Sherman, how would they contact you?
My email address is sherman.brown0@gmail.com. Again, it's Sherman, S-H-E-R-M-A-N, .B-R-O-W-N, .0@gmail.com. And my phone number is 901.
Yeah, that zero is like the numerical zero, right?
Yes, the number zero. It's Sherman.Brown, .0@gmail.com.
Okay, and the phone contact number, did you mention?
Let me give it to you. The contact phone number is area code 901-314-5295. That's area code 901-314-5295.
Now you're trying to you've got a number of projects. For instance, tell us about your 50-50 holiday season thing that you're promoting.
Yeah, it's something that I thought about. I'm going to do. It's called I'm going 50-50, and it's like I'm going 50-50. What I'm going to do for the holidays this year, I'm going to give out 50 turkeys, and then for Christmas, just do 50 bikes. So
are you working
out with 50? Huh?
Are you working through anyone in particular for any kind of organization for that?
Am I working with anybody right now?
Yeah, is there like Porter Lee for any of these organizations? Are you working through them for the bikes in conjunction with them, or are you just doing this on your own?
Oh, man, and that's funny, man, because, like, even growing up, how it almost goes along the lines of if you want a business, you go get a business loan and do your business. If you want, and so what I'm saying is that all that I've been, how I've been growing up getting businesses started, I just do it myself. You know, I don't, it's like I don't have the, I don't know how to act. You follow what I'm saying? I'm just used to doing it myself. So I'm not working with anybody right now. It's just something that I thought about doing. I thought it'd be great to do. So it's just me doing it right now.
Sherman, you have a call. Let me bring this caller online. And you're on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. My guest is Sherman Brown. Do you have a question for Sherman?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Sherman, this is your uncle from Detroit.
How you doing, Uncle? How you doing, man?
Robert Earl.
Yes.
Listen, I'm just wanting to let you know I'm listening to you, and I appreciate the work you're doing down there.
Thank you, Uncle. Thank you.
And I'll be down there to see you around September or October. I'm sorry, October or November if I can.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Keep up good work.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Thank you for calling in there. I was wondering where that 313 number was.
Oh, Uncle, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, and you were talking about the 50-50 program.
Yeah, that's giving me. I just want to just do something.
Or you're I think you were just saying that you're going to do it yourself. You're just developing that program for yourself.
Yeah, I'm developing myself. Yeah, developing it myself. Like I said, I don't know how to ask. You know, just something that I thought about doing. I'm going to go forward with it. Not saying I don't need any help. Love to have help if I can get. I don't know how to do it. I'm just going for it. Any suggestions?
You have another caller, Sherman. This time from the Memphis area, 901 number.
Okay.
Yes, caller, you're on the air with Laws of Material Wealth and Sherman Brown.
Hey, Sherman, yep. This is DJ, man.
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing just fine, man. I'm always a supporter of yours. And I just enjoy the vision that you have to keep it moving and just wanted to keep on encouraging and keep on moving.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much, man, for real. Make me want to cry.
Yes, sir. I'm one of your number one supporters, man. And you can call on me at any time, and I'll be there for you.
I believe that, too, man. Thank you, man. You're making my eyes get water right about now.
All right, man. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Sherman, you, besides the 50-50, I mean, you've been in this search for education and training and business and so forth, and you found a platform that you were talking eloquently about. I've heard you speak on this subject, talking about the personal development programs and the business development programs and so forth of the National Wealth Center. You want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
I'd be glad to tell you about that. I've been, like I said, I'm always moving, I'm always searching. And I found a company that actually tailored how I am, if you can understand what I'm talking about. Like, growing up, I had a lot of hard knocks. And every time I had a hard knock or a loss, I've learned something, don't get me wrong. But it cost me money. You know, it cost me money, which, you know, I think I paid for education. Even though, and let me say this right here, even though I know I dropped out of school, I've been getting educated every day since then, and even also before then. So every day I wake up, I'm getting educated. So I'm well educated in that standpoint. But I found a company. It's called National Wealth Center. With National Wealth Center, it's a company that can give you like that personal training, that life coach. Because most of the time, I knew when I was growing up, when I have an idea, the only person knew about the idea was myself. You know, and God, of course. So those are the only two knew, me and God, about an idea, or they can help me with an idea, because most of the times, whoever is thinking about something, nobody's around to really help them out with it. They got to figure their way through, just like I did. But National Wealth Center gives you the tools that you need so you don't have to bump your head as many times and to get to your where you're trying to go faster. You got personal development. It helps you with personal development, shows you how to be a better you. It has business development. It shows you how to handle yourself in a business manner, how to start a business, open a business, how to conduct yourself in business. It molds you as a business person. And then they have another program called Wealth Development. And Wealth Development, it gives you the tools on how to make money, save money. These are tools that we need, and it helps you. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited about that.
That third one sounds like it's teaching you how to keep what you make, because so many people make when they do make a lot of money, they lose it. Don't know how to manage it.
Exactly, and it's also, you know, I keep these little sayings in my head, kind of keep me going. I said, what I'm going to do right now is keep the back door closed. Meaning, when we buy something, man, and we'll spend a miscellaneous $29 or 84 cents we'll throw out the door, or we'll get a car note. We don't care what the payment is, we want it. We'll get a house. Don't care what the payment is, we want it. And we're so emotional about what we want, but we don't do certain things in an educated manner. So, you know, just that those tools alone, man, because if you think about it, everybody gets what they want. You know, I ride through the hood, and I see people with brand-new cars and big rims. And, you know, I see a lot of things. Everybody get what they want. But once we change our want and put our needs in front first, then we can get the things that we want. But it's so important, because I made money, and my money evaporated just like the water at times. It's like the water gone, my money gone, because I wasn't educated in that manner. And it makes a big, big difference. You can make not minimum wage, but you can make a little bit of money, and you can be good. But if you don't know what you're doing with your money, you're going to lose it. And then you're like, oh, God, give me some more money. He gave you some. Y'all gave you some. He gave you plenty, in a sense. If you manage that, then you be rule over men.
How are you helping people in that? Are you just tell them where to go look, or are you providing some training yourself where you're explaining how they can generate revenue, get this kind of education that they need? What are you doing?
What are we doing now? When we found out about this company, man, we started going with it, and we was doing seminars in the mall, which we still do sometimes, but what we're doing now is having phone conversations. We do house-to-house meetings to make it so people can understand what we're doing. So we got training going on all the time. We do conference calls. But we want to get this word out so we can get a better mindset.
So you're having basically home meetings so that people can kind of relax at home and then learn about some of these techniques and some things they can do.
Right, exactly. And then we're doing a big event next month at the Great Hall Center that's in Memphis, Tennessee. So just contact me for more info about that as well. But, yeah, we're doing home meetings because we want them to really relax and get this.
Now, did you get with some other people with different backgrounds and work on this program? I mean, How is all this coming about? I mean, you didn't dream this up on the top of the roof, did you?
Yes, I did. No, I'm just joking. No, I did not do that. When I found, like I said, once I found out about it, I went to the conference in Florida and came back, and a friend of mine named Darren brought it to my attention. And we gathered and we researched it, man. So him, have Earl, have a few people, yourself, that we're, I won't start naming names, I'm going to forget somebody. But, you know, we'll share it with you all so you all can know how we're doing it.
Well, that's, you know, most people don't do that. They hear about something, so you just got on a plane and went to the home office to check it out yourself, huh?
Yeah, man. You know, the reason why I did that, because when I found out about it, they were doing it the next week. But, you know, I just don't want anything in life that's just going to tickle my toes. You know, I don't have time to be wasting time on something that's not relevant, that doesn't make any sense. So once I found out that this was true and it wasn't no smoke and mirrors, you know, I'm like, let me go see what's going on with it. And when I went, I was like happy. And I came back, made me more excited.
Now as you were talking about some of the benefits of that program, is besides the extensive training, What's the big kicker there? What do you see as being so valuable about that for the? I mean, anybody who starts a business, of course, is going to have tax deductions. So there's some real benefits in just going into business for yourself. But it's really important to have a business that's providing a valuable service and that you're making money on. But what do you see as being so special about this one?
Well, if I look at the money part, you know, the education is wonderful. I promise you, if it wasn't something that I think that will work and be a strong force, I wouldn't say it. But the financial part is so great because when I've gotten businesses in my life, one of those businesses, I've spent some money, and in my mind, anybody who's got a business or want a business, these are the things you're going to think about. How much money you got to spend? When am I going to get my money back, and will I get my money back with profit on top of it? If you buy any business, you get a McDonald's, you want to spend the money for the franchise, get your money back you put into it with money over that so you can make a profit. But this is something that it's like you don't lose, because sometimes I've gotten business, I wanted to come back. It didn't come back at all as far as the money. I mean, I'm still looking for it. It hadn't came back yet. Businesses I've got that didn't go well. But this right here, you get your money right back. And within 5 minutes. And then, because you can make a strong residual income. When I mean strong residual income, we can retire two ways. We can retire without any energy, or we can retire with energy. And I think people need to retire with energy because you have the time now to relax, the time now to go out of town. But then you need more money. You know, excuse my French, but Social Security is not social or security, because, you know, it doesn't protect you. I know people that's on there right now and still need money. So, you know, we have to do something better, and this right here would give you the vehicle to get to where you need to go.
So how much do you have to make in there before you can give up or sell the roofing business?
How much what now?
How much revenue do you have to be generating from this new business before you sell or get rid of the roofing business?
I don't think I'm going to get rid of it, really. I mean, you know, it's going well. It's helping the community.
Yeah.
But I will have it on autopilot.
Yeah. And the this company is hasn't everybody heard of it already? I mean, it's like 17 years old. This is not something new.
You know, it's 17 years old, yes. Nothing new. But a lot of, it's still on the new program they have right now. This program only been going on like a year, a year and a few months. So it's not heard of at all in the sense of, when I say not heard of, it's been heard of, but it's not, everybody don't know about it, need to know about it.
It's a pretty good size membership, and a lot of people have joined simply for the discount, the application that they can get on their smartphones.
Now
that's
that
all
right
they use it for.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. With that program, you can have an app on your phone, and you get discounts on food, hotels, your travel. Even if you know somebody that has a business, needs to advertise their business, we can put their business in this program. So they will get more traffic in their business.
Mm.
And that's great there alone.
Well, I've actually heard you speak on this. I didn't know that you were a public speaker, but I have seen you literally take over a meeting. So you're obviously very excited about it.
I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited about it. It's like once I found out about this program, I woke up one morning and I was like, wow. Because, you know, working for somebody and working for yourself when you're getting linear income is mainly the same thing, because linear income is once you get paid to do what you do, you have no more money coming in off of that. If you cut hair and you cut hair, you get your money from cutting hair. When that person leaves, you get your money, they owe you nothing else. You don't have any residual income. If I don't do a roof, I don't get paid. This right here allows me to get residual income off of something that I start, residual income where the money keeps coming and coming and coming. And this company also has two words I like about it. It compounds where it keeps doubling, tripling, and getting bigger, and then it's also to infinity where it don't stop.
Well, I've interviewed a number of people at the mall and at different meetings, and the objectives, they run a quite a long range. I've met some people there in their late 60s, early 70s, that are looking at this program as a way to enhance their retirement income that they can build up in a month or so to increase their income by $1,000 a month. And then I've met others who have started a business and they're looking at this to underwrite the whatever business they've got. There's quite a few of them are dabbling in some kind of business, and there are people that I talk to that are trying to retire. They want to continue to work, but they want to do what they want to do and not what they have to do. You know, they don't want to be working for the man anymore. So I've seen quite a mixture there, young people and old.
And also too, with this, you know how, I mean, and I just gotta be honest with you and go with how I look at it. Like if you have a record. Okay, you have a record, and you made a mistake, and for some odd reason, you can't get a job. And it hurts when you can't get a job. When you want to say, hey, I want to take care of my family, but you can't get a job. You know, or you get a job, and there's not enough money to really live like you're destined to live. You know, as kings and queens. You know, as a man of standard, as a woman of standard, as a man of wealth and a woman of wealth. But you try to get a job, you can't get a job. So the only thing you can do is own your own business. There's no way around it. And if you can get your business and get something that gives you residual income and you don't lose, you get your money right back, I don't see any, you know what I mean, I don't see anything that would make you not want to do it. And it's educating you, giving you the nuts and bolts you need to make it in life, you know, with the help of God. You know, so it's for everybody.
Well, in the first place, this is not, you say get your money back. This is not a business that requires what I'd call capital, you know, like you would start a restaurant business or something, you might put quite a lot of money into it, and it might be 6 months, a year, or longer before you get your money back. But this doesn't really require that kind of capital. Could you, since we're talking about it, could you go ahead and explain that a little bit to my listeners?
Well, you can start off with this business with as little as $35. You can start off with just $35 and change your financial situation. You can talk to $35. People say, I don't have that. I tell them, stay in the house 2 days. You got it. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's nothing to get a revenue of wealth. So let me go a little bit on it. Like $25 is for personal development. It gives you the nuts and bolts and tools to be a better you. The business development is $50. It gives you information on what I told y'all earlier about a business. And then the other one's $100, so that's $175. But you can just start with $35 and slowly go. But once you get it going and you're really moving with it, I tell you, you're gonna fire your boss. You know, we get fired by the boss, but what if you can go to work one day and say, boss, you fired, and you leave because now you're making money and now you can live and be free and go help and donate. That's what it's about. But that's how
I want to thank you for coming on the Laws of Material Wealth and telling your story, and also revealing to listeners this program that you're very excited about there. And I want to remind folks that Sherman does have a book, A Bullet in Me, that will be coming out here this year. And Sherman, if you would like, give them your email and phone number address again.
My email address is sherman.brown, the number 0, at gmail.com. That's sherman.brown, the number 0, at gmail.com. And my phone number is 901-314-5295. That's 901-314-5295.
So, Sherman, anywhere in the world that they are, can they participate in this program if they're not inside the United States?
You definitely can. You definitely
can. So it doesn't matter where they are.
It don't matter where you are and what you're doing.
And you've got just a few seconds. If there's anything, any message you'd like to give to my listeners, then you can do it. We're just about at the end of our time.
Well, I just want to, yes, first of all, thank you all for taking our time to listen tonight. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you. You know, just pray for me and pray my strength. And thank you all so much. And like I said, hopefully, I can help the world.
Well, thank you very much, Sherman, for being with us on the Laws of Material Wealth tonight. It's been a pleasure having you. I want to remind you that if you will go to YouTube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network, and you can see our television shows, The Bookman Show, Core Concepts. You can find some information there or view the first DVD of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. And there's also audio books. It's a fairly big site. And come to blogtalkradio.com. That's BLOGTALK, blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And view the different shows. We have 11 shows a week. And if you come back to this site in an hour or so, or a few minutes after we complete the show, you'll be able to hear this show right here with Sherman Brown. If you like, you can download them if you like. And those TV shows and things are on YouTube, but the radio shows are there, archives going back probably around 5 years. So you're welcome to visit there. And also visit us at iam-cor.org. That's IAM-COR.org. Remember, the blog goes on the back of that if you want to see the blog. And if you want to go to the to the website and view the campus and so forth and the things, then please do. And thanks for being with us on the Laws of Material Wealth. And we'll see you next week at the same time, 8:30 Wednesday evening. Have a good evening, everyone. Did you enjoy it? Yeah, you seem real natural on it, so that went fine. I think I start working with some of these authors before they've written anything, before they even have a manuscript. So we can start on putting that in a format so you can see what it's going to look like anytime you want to. Yeah, that's on the we're on my cell phone, but I'll call you right back.